We'll come to order. Morning, I thought I would. We would start out with discussions about the clean water language. Representative Wagenius.
Glad to, Madam Chair. If you will look on, I have line 8321, section 15, in the House, and in my book, it's R107.
That's Article 5.
Seven.
Five. See, they didn't give us what you get you guys in.
Seven. 3.21. I think it might actually right here.
Members, remember as we discussed in Parks when we adopted the Constitution and did the little bit of language we did last year, all we did was establish a fund in Parks, and there were like two sentences with the fund. And this similarly in Waters, we have the two sentences where it says the money is going to be deposited in this fund, but it doesn't say how the funding should be spent or anything about governance of the fund. So you will see that the House did a sustainable drinking water account, because remember, at least 5% of the money must be spent for sustainable drinking water. So that's the account for that. And then we did some purpose language, which starts on 8328. And we, of course, quote the Constitution. And then we have five purposes. And we were trying to give some guidance to people who are going to apply for these monies or look to have some of these monies. And so the purposes are to provide additional grants, loans, and technical assistance to public agencies and others who are participating in the process of testing, identifying impaired waters, developing TMDLs and restoration plans, and evaluating the effectiveness. And secondly, to support additional measures to prevent surface waters from becoming impaired. But those are the ones that don't have TMDLs, providing additional grants and loans for the PFC. On four, additional measures to prevent degradation in groundwater in accordance with our statute and rules. And five is additional funds to state agencies to carry out their responsibilities for enhanced compliance and enforcement. And then we have the language about it must supplement traditional sources of funding. Then we use the language that we have, now it's applying to waters, but we're using the language that we saw in Parks, and it's similar, and I think we've had some of the discussion about this, and I think taking out biennially and adjusting the language to meet the Parks might be something we want to do. The data availability on 85.3 is just the same as we've seen before. The special review language is there. That's something we haven't dealt with, and I think we definitely need to deal with. Let's see if we I think that's where we end with that. Council, will you help me if there is additional waters language that we have? The only other thing I think maybe we need to talk about right now is we do have the definitions of protect, restore, and enhance. And I think maybe this would that be all right?
Sure.
Okay. Those members you will find, because we've, of course, referenced the Constitution and in the what line am I going to say? The purpose clause on 8328, starting there. So I think it would be a good idea then to look at.
She said 83.
Definitions, and I'm going to find those in a moment.
Yeah.
121.
121? And so, yes, so these are the definitions that the House has adopted for all funds. And one of the interesting things that I've heard some people say that, and I think these are just easy enough for you to read, and I think the first take by Mr. Meyer in our committee when we adopted them was, geez, these look good. The one thing I have heard is people say, well, I thought protect meant just buying, and this language doesn't include buying. And I think it, from my reading, it's absolutely clear that protect means actions taken to preserve the structure and functions of ecological systems, to maintain actively and healthy ecosystems and prevent future degradation. And an action taken is clearly a purchase of, by fee or by easement.
Chair, what line are you on?
Oh, I'm sorry, 9610, we are on page R121 from the House, in section 3.
120.
Protect is what she's just reading.
So then, I'm sorry you hadn't seen that. The protect language I have on 9610 in the House language, and I just was, some folks were, I think, worried that protect did not include purchasing, and I think it clearly includes purchasing. And I just want to make that absolutely clear for the record that that includes purchasing either in fee or in easement.
Madam Chair.
Senator Anderson.
Is there any reason not to say that?
No, we could say that. That, I thought, we thought actions taken was broad enough, but that it certainly, no reason not to.
And Representative Genius, our first communication from Commissioner Holston's office was that we needed definitions.
Absolutely.
And then this, these definitions were put in to answer that. And now there's some question of whether we should have definitions. But we've been using the words enhance and protect and restore for many years, and in many, many pieces of legislation and bills that have passed through the House and the Senate and come to the floor. Do we question what is meant by those words as those bills have been passing?
Well, we, in DNR, there is a heritage account that uses very similar language. And restoration is a common word. I mean, when I mean similar language, I mean similar in all three. But the restore is throughout DNR language.
And it's in the Constitution also now? And so would this help define then those words for the Constitution?
I think it clearly does. These were not, this was not language that I drafted, so I have to give credit where credit is due. And House Research spent good time working on these and consulting with others to come up with commonly accepted definitions.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In Constitution, section 15, the sixth line, it does say restore, protect, and enhance. I don't see anywhere where it says purchase, but I think on the protection, I think maybe we need to put some language in there that makes it a little more clear that, yeah, purchase by fee or by easement. Because the Constitution certainly doesn't say on my land, it just says restore, protect, and enhance. So.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm, it's a little early yet, and I haven't had my coffee, but I'm trying to think of what Commissioner Holston said in the last conference committee we were in, that protection can include acquisition, but it's not limited to, or it's not equal to, it's not only acquisition. Senator Anderson, or Senator Sachs, how do you remember when we, I think he said that it's in, it can, it may include, but not is exclusive to.
Representative Reguinas.
Thank you for saying that, Representative Hansen. I would call your attention to the line, the part of this that says, and prevent future degradation. I think that is clearly protection and something that needs to be stated forthrightly.
Senator Rummel.
Madam Chair and Representative Reguinas, I agree with Representative Hansen that when we're looking at Stream Bank, for example, it isn't just restoration. I mean, it isn't just purchasing. What we do to the stream banks to preserve or protect the waters isn't necessarily have to be buying the easement, plantings, or the various repairs that are made doesn't necessarily require us to purchase the land on the stream banks, and it still would be considered protecting. So I agree with, however, this is nuanced, the adding of it doesn't, it can include purchasing, but I don't want to make it sound like it's only purchasing.
If we could ask council to help us out with that.
Madam Chair, Representative Wiggins, what you could do is you could just add a clause at the end of on 96.12 after degradation, put something like including, comma, but not limited to the purchase of land and fee or conservation easements, something to that effect.
Does that work for folks? I look at the drafter over here.
Chair, Representative Wiggins, we haven't seen this before, and I just looked in the statute to see how it would fit into the statute. But I think what was just stated by staff would be a good clarification, but I need to understand it a little bit better before I'm comfortable with it.
Well, let's just have that language sitting out there as a potential addition.
Okay. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I could go back to the Clean Water Fund for just quick moment. Most of that language came from or is parallel to the Clean Water Legacy language that was adopted in staff.
Excuse me, I'm having trouble hearing.
107?
106. 106 for us.
8322, I think.
Yep, that's 8323. When you get into purpose and then flip onto 108, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, kind of the descriptions, we use the base, and I think this came in Representative Eakin's committee, Madam Chair, looked at the clean water legacy language, but much of that was related to surface water. And we added the groundwater component to comply with the Constitution. And you also see the adjectives of additional, enhanced, a number of things to show that it's not the traditional sources of funding. So those bullet points that are in there, we used the groundwork of Clean Water Legacy and then added those portions in. In addition, there was an amendment, it shows on 84.9, that it's that the funds may not only be used for just grants, just the carrot side of trying to get changes with water quality, but having compliance and enforcement, but having it as enhanced additional work rather than what is traditionally being done. And the House felt that it was important to have those two sides of the carrot and the stick and those incentives that are there for water quality rather than only the carrot being there. So just a little more description of where that came from, looking at what was there in Clean Water Legacy, but further defining it and trying to bring it into the constitutional compliance.
Senator Frederickson.
Madam Chair, reading this language, I'm wondering, I'm looking at lines 8410 and 8411, where it says that this must supplement and not supplant. And I'm wondering if additional up in those other clauses adds to the language or detracts from it. I guess I like to just, you know, say what it is straight up, what we want to do, without additional terms like additional.
Madam Chair, I would ask counsel if...
I didn't hear what you said.
Ms. Taylor?
She wanted the counsel. Yes, counsel.
I think the additional is emphasis, but I don't think it would be necessary if the committee chose to remove it. That would, I don't think it would detract from the meaning or intent.
Representative Wagenius?
I think by including B and making sure that B is there... I think that is the important thing here. So we could follow council's lead on that. I think that one of our fears is always the fear of the citizens. And the citizens have told us again and again they're worried that this money will just, and of course we're talking about state agencies here, they're worried that the state agency budgets will drop and that this money will just be backfill. I've just heard that so many times when I was out door knocking for this, that was the worry.
Senator
Fredrickson.
Again, my concern is somebody might read these and say, well, what's additional? You know, what is the base in each of these? And there is not. And the other question I have is 83.32. There seems to be an unnecessary phrase in there. Who are participating in the process of, I don't know why we wouldn't just say to public agencies and others for testing waters, identifying.
Yeah, that's correct. You're right. I know you're going to do that.
Sorry.
No.
That's helpful.
Yes. It. Madam Chair, we've been on enough conference committees together that not only do I expect it, I depend on it.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On
84.8 and 84.9, providing additional funds to state agencies to carry out their responsibilities, including enhanced compliance and enforcement under this chapter. Does that mean that they go out and hire a whole bunch of new DNR folks to be out on farms checking stuff out? Or if you get rid of the word additional, providing funds to state agencies to carry out their responsibilities, including, I guess the word additional doesn't really matter. There's so much. I think there might be some concern about that, you know, item five there. They figure that there's a lot of folks I represent think there's plenty of folks out there for compliance and enforcement right now, and I don't think they need a whole bunch of new conservation officers out on their land.
Representative Wagenius.
Well, I think there are tools in the toolbox on line 8331, providing additional grants, loans, and technical assistance. And that's the carrot provision. But carrots alone have not been able to protect our waters. And sometimes you need a little more than carrots. And so I think this is the attempt to provide some balance, and that we would expect balance.
Madam Chair?
Mr. Knopf.
On this one, I think there's some issues with it. You know, first of all, on 84.9, I'm not sure what enhanced means. You do compliance and enforcement. And the other thing, it says under this chapter, 114D, to my understanding, doesn't really have any enforcement powers. It's really the TMDL chapter. And so I'm not sure what under this chapter means.
Representative Wagenius.
Actually, since this is fairly broad, I think we could take out under this chapter.
And then the other thing, you were talking about number one earlier. where it says on 83.3, when providing additional grants, loans, and technical assistance to public agencies. I mean, you aren't going to provide grants, loans, or technical assistance to the Pollution Control Agency to test waters. I would think you would just say for testing waters and identifying impaired waters. I mean, the Pollution Control Agency doesn't receive grants or technical assistance. It receives appropriations.
Representative Hansen.
Chair, I think that language is part, maybe Senator Fredericks can help me on that, but I think that's almost verbatim from legacy, and the public agencies and others includes local soil and water conservation districts, watershed districts. It may even have counties or cities that have local water planners. So the delivery mechanism, and I think all of this is related to the fund and the use of the fund. So those grants, loans, and technical assistance may pass through a couple of entities to get to be on the ground, and others, a local soil and water conservation district may be working with people with a lake association or stream bank monitoring or stream monitoring. So it could, I think the language there that was drafted comes from the legacy language, the clean water legacy language.
Well, I think, Madam Chair, that the issue, though, is if you're appropriating money to the Pollution Control Agency to do this, it doesn't, I mean, that's not what that says. It doesn't, the Pollution Control Agency also does these activities, and that really isn't what's included there.
Representative Wagenius.
I think we just have something that council can help us with. I understand what you're saying, but this is the folks who help us with grammar can help us out here.
And before that, though, Representative Hansen, when you're talking about the Clean Water Legacy, that's the Act of 2006?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
14D.
Well, Madam Chair, I think if you just on 83.32 put a comma after others. And then if you deleted what Senator Fredrickson was talking about, who are participating in the process of, so it would read providing additional grants, loans, technical assistance to public agencies and others, testing waters, identifying impaired waters, developing TMDLs, that sort of thing.
I think that works, Madam Chair.
Okay. But who are is still in there? Who are testing waters? Is that the way it works?
No.
Oh. Madam Chair, I think Senator Fredrickson was talking about eliminating the who are participating in the process of, at least that's the way I heard his.
Madam Chair, that's right. Discussion. So I would just read technical assistance to public agencies and others, testing waters, identifying impaired waters, developing TMDLs.
Thank you, Senator.
You want a comma after others?
Yes, yeah. The comma would be after others. Yes.
Thank you. And I think on the first line you're talking about to delete additional, so be providing grants, loans, and technical assistance.
That's correct.
Additionals have been subtracted. It's pretty good for this time of morning.
Anything more?
Madam Chair, just one other on 84.13. Are we talking about that section too? I think we should just say Clean Water Fund must meet the constitutional requirements. I don't know how you exceed the constitutional requirements. You either meet them or you don't.
What line are you on now?
84.13.
That's a good point. I think that is a doing, let's see, if it's doing better than protecting, are there things that you could do better? Are there things that you could do better than just a plain restoration? If we're doing this kind of restoration or doing a higher quality restoration, I think that's probably what is implied here, but you don't think that works?
I think, Madam Chair, Representative Wiggins, I think it just refers to constitutional requirements, and you either meet the constitutional requirements or you don't.
Madam Chair, that point, I think the Senator got a good point there, because if you say go to the Constitution, you go to the Constitution, and that is what we're trying to say here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that
fine.
Will work.
Oh, Madam,
fine.
Madam Chair, could I just make one other suggestion? The other thing you don't have in here is you don't have drinking water for expenditures from the Clean Water Fund, and I'm not sure why the House didn't include drinking water. I mean, you've got a drinking water account within the fund, and when you're specifying, when you say that a project receiving money from the Clean Water Fund must meet the constitutional requirements, but the drinking water account is, we've got to remember the hierarchy, the drinking water account is within the Clean Water Fund, and it seems like you have to mention drinking water here, too. Protection of drinking water.
Representative Guinness.
I think one of the shortcomings of this section is that we need to, as a group, spend some more time on drinking water as a category unto itself. And we set up the separate fund, but I would think that that fund itself needs some additional language. It's just we did not take on that task. It does seem that the health department should engage in that with us, too. But I do understand what you're saying.
Yeah, because, Madam Chair,
for the account.
My point is, though, is that this is an account within the Clean Water Fund, and when we're specifying the fund, we mm-hmm. should make sure we include all the things that the fund can be spent on.
Right. I think that's good. I think that's good.
Representative Morgan.
Madam Chair, on the bottom of the previous page, on line 8330, under the purpose subdivision, it does specify protecting drinking water sources.
Well,
I don't know if we want to do more than that.
Well, Madam Chair, but
Mr. Knopf.
But the thing is, it says a project receiving funding from the Clean Water Fund must meet the constitutional requirements to protect. If you don't list it here, how is the drinking water protection going to meet one of these? Do we know that it's going to meet one of these?
Okay, I see.
I think you're absolutely correct, Mr. Knopf.
I think that staff can help us out here. Council is always good on these things.
Well, Madam Chair, I just think if you on 84.14, where it says protect groundwater, I think if you said protect groundwater and drinking water from degradation.
I think that works.
So you just, after groundwater, Madam Chair, just add and drinking water.
Any other corrections?
Madam Chair, just a question. I think when Representative Wiggins was going through this, you on 8420, you mentioned taking biennially off there pursuant to the same.
I did.
All the same discussion. Yeah.
I did.
On Madam Chair.
Senator Anderson.
We also, in the park section, took out when appropriate on 8419. I think we should strike when appropriate in two places.
I would agree with that. I guess when I was going through it, I was assuming we would incorporate into it the language as we had done in parks.
And Madam Chair?
Senator Anderson.
The sentence that says priority must be given to projects that meet more than one of these requirements. I think that was not in the parks section. And I would question whether that's needed. I mean, it's a good idea in general, but I'm not sure. It's a rather strict mandate here, and I'm not sure if that is really necessary, because who knows when, in some cases, that might not be the right idea. In a lot of cases, it's a good idea, but not always.
Madam Chair.
You might have a really fantastic project that only meets one of these, and you would be excluding it. So I just don't know why you want to do that.
Could I make a suggestion?
Representative Wiggins.
Since a lot of this deals with grant making, I do think we want to give the ability to folks who do grants, and changing that word from must to may, so that they may give priority to projects that actually meet more than one requirement. Would that work for you,
That's
Senator?
That's my suggestion.
Chair. Mm-hmm. That's for me. Yes, change must to may.
Stuff. current sign.
And Madam Chair, just to point out, and I think it would be the same for the parks, you have some cross references to some sections that haven't been adopted. You know, your statutory references on the 84.17 to that's actually a new subdivision 10 that hasn't been adopted by this conference committee. I think the important thing is for the direction to staff that will fit this wherever it fits.
Right.
On those references.
Yes.
Madam Chair.
Senator Anderson.
I think in paragraph D on the bottom, 84.28 and onward, we need to also adopt the changes that we made in the other section.
Yes.
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 And line it up with the parks and trails.
Yes.
I was assuming that as I was speaking, I'm sorry, I didn't make that clear, that we would line this language up identically. And one of the things we dropped, not intentionally, but we still haven't figured out the sign stuff, and that sign stuff is here, and I would assume that we would not do that right away, but once we get to the sign that's in E, we would come back and insert that, because I know there's agreement to do it. We just haven't agreed technically how to do it.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think on the data availability part, and I'm not sure if state government finance has been signed yet, but I think was there something in there about changing LIMIC to different name of geospatial something?
Something like that, Madam Chair.
So we may need to, if that gets signed, and that may appear a couple of places in here of land management information centers, so.
And I think Representative Kahn told me about that last night. I can't remember exactly what she said, but.
Madam Chair, I don't know if in the State Department's, if there was instructions to the revisor to change that reference through the statute or not. Mr. Shepherd is nodding his head yes, okay. So that'll magically change if they're signed.
Well, we don't have to worry about that. Well, Madam Chair, let's go on. I think we're coming to some consensus here, at least I'm hoping we're coming to some consensus here. Through data availability, we haven't finished talking about special review. I do think we had some language that council was working on there. But let's go, because I think I am almost ready to make a motion here. But let's look at the enhance, protect, and restore again and see if I can include that in the motion with the lands easement and purchase. Now we're on 121 in the house, which would be 96.6. We take some time to
120.
Right.
Madam Chair, I'm just trying to look back at this DNR letter, and they're raising a number of concerns about this language, and it just seems that it's a rather sort of technical definition that has some terms of art in it that we don't necessarily have the expertise to decide if it's correct or not, honestly.
What's the date on the DNR letter that you're referring
to? May 5th.
Thank you.
I think,
I mean, it's, Madam Chair, I just read it quickly just this morning again, and it's just saying, you know, there's sort of scientists have some discussion about these concepts and principles, and that makes me a little nervous because I don't know that I know better. I don't know who's right and who's wrong and what the magic word should be, so I'm a little nervous about putting them into statute without having a big scientific debate, which we haven't done on this, and I don't know if you have.
Okay, may I?
Representative Wagenius.
I'm going to ask us to look at this in a little bit different light. I'm going to ask you to look at this as just plain meaning, that I don't think there are terms of art in here, that this is plain English. It's just like plain language contracts.
Well, Madam Chair, then what does structure and functions of ecological systems mean in plain English?
In plain English, well, we know what an ecological system is. That would be a forest, a prairie, or a wetland. And that's, of course, one of the things we're talking about here. And a function of a wetland is to clean up the water. Lots of folks know what a functioning wetland is compared to one that maybe looks like a wetland, but it's not functioning. And I think we've had many discussions about.
Madam Chair, is a function
Senator Anderson.
Is a function of a forest, does that include functions for human purposes or just functions for habitat purposes? I mean, does function mean to clean the air, to provide homes for birds? Does it mean to provide wood for buildings? What's your definition?
It says functions of ecological systems, so it's of the systems.
Senator Saxon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative Wagenius, when we're going to do for us our 120 or 121. Section 2, 3, and 4 with those definitions. Are you contemplating doing those for all four of the our deals?
Yes, these the way the statute is written, that it applies to everything. So I think we have to. I would agree. We need to spend some time with this because I don't think we can let. It's not the opportunity, but this is the time to define this. This is kind of fundamental to the Constitution and how we're spending our money. So we're going to have to let people know who are making grants and people know who are carrying out. We're giving them the money to carry out the duties. They've got to have some framework here. And I think one of the issues that was brought up, and I think it's important for us to discuss, was some folks thought that protecting only meant purchasing. But as Senator Rummel says, protecting means more than just purchasing. It can mean putting grass and riprap on that stream bank. It can mean saying, we're not going to let this degrade anymore. That's pretty common sense. So I think the protection one, when you add the words of including purchase, I think it's important. I mean, because I think the discussion that some folks had that it's only purchasing is a wrong discussion, and we have to address that forthrightly. It's more than just purchasing.
Senator Saxon.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Wagenius. Well, I certainly agree with the words enhance, protect, and restore. It is very difficult to make a definition that's going to include everything. And I guess I would like a piece in trying to define that, as we are trying to here, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure how, 8402 is what again? Is that I?
That just defines what, Madam Chair, what native prairie means.
It's a whole statute of definitions.
Okay.
It's a slew of definitions.
That other definitions.
Okay. Well, in general, I'd like us not to get too defined here, although, I'd be the first one to agree with what you and Senator Rummel were talking about, that it isn't just purchasing, it's You know, it's riprap, it's whatever we can get done. So I, but I think we could define this forever. So,
I think since it's so been so narrowly defined, that we have to make sure that we don't have this total narrow definition out here. I mean, if that had not come up as an issue, that maybe we wouldn't have done it, but because we are not doing the job of defining, then they are being defined for us, perhaps in a way that citizens would not agree with. And I would say that citizens would say that what Senator Rummel said was what they expected. So I think that's the issue we're trying to wrestle with here, and it's an issue we have to kind of wrestle down to the ground.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Wiginius, I think you said something there that really for the first time struck a chord for me, the idea that we're trying to broaden these definitions and not narrow them. That we're not trying to be restrictive in this language. We're trying to open up the idea of what it could mean.
Yes.
And maybe that is not clear in the way the language is written. And I think we took a step if we adopted the language suggested by House Research about this may include but is not limited to purchase of land by fee or easement or whatever the words to that effect were. Maybe we can do that with the other two to try and provide greater comfort to folks that we are not trying to restrict people. We are trying to broaden the ideas of what these things mean.
Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, Representative Wiginius. I think there are two groups of people going to read this and come away with different expectations. There's the common meaning of the folks on the street who voted for the Constitution, like to see a healthy environment, are going to read it one way. But this is also going to be read by a scientific community who's going to be very much involved in the latest ecological definitions. And there's a different reading of what it means. And I'm just reading this letter again. I just skimmed it one time, and there's apparently this language by the scientific community would be going back to an older understood definition.
I think that is Representative Guinness.
I think that is a red herring, if I could be so kind. And here's why. If you will look at all the praise of the Outdoor Heritage Council and their use of scientific language, look at their restoration definition. It's an excellent one. And it talks about ecological restoration. So, DNR on one hand says one thing, and on another hand says another thing. But if we take the lead from the Outdoor Heritage Council, they use the word ecological restoration. So I think they understand. But I think that this notion that people, the most troubling part of all of the discussions that we have had about how this money can be used is the notion that protect meant only. The only thing you could do with the protect was to buy. And I think that it's critical that we let people know when they're applying for grants that they can do stream banks and a whole bunch of other things with this money. So I don't want people to be limited in their approach to protection.
Senator?
Madam Chair, Representative Wiginius, I think I agree with what you just said, but I think other people might read this and have a different explanation. I went back and looked at the references in this letter, and I haven't had time to read the footnotes, but they indicated that the scientific community might read this differently. That's my concern.
Madam Chair.
Oh, yeah, Mr.
Scogan.
Mr. Scogan, Senator Scogan.
Yeah. And I'm here mostly for the arts stuff, but this particular piece I am interested in, and I just want to remind the committee that this is year one of a 25-year process, and I don't know that we want to make it too burdensome going forward, and there's going to be opportunities when we see how we start to unravel this to make some changes, and I think Senator Frederickson, Senator Saxoff have pointed to how this may be problematic if we go too far with the first step. And I know I'm here for the arts, but I wanted to weigh in, and I appreciate it.
And Senator, since you haven't been here before, I'm just curious. I don't mean to be rude in any way, but and how are we going to be able to talk about this again once we make this bill appear today? Are we going to do it through bill form, or are we going to do through it joint meetings together where we're talking about things, or are we going to have to do it through bill forms that pass through our regular committees? And that's just a question that comes to my mind, and you prompted it now, but it's on my list of things that I wanted to bring to this whole discussion. When we were talking about principles last night, and if that's the case, and we just go to appropriations, if we go to we reach a consensus today or tomorrow on what we're going to appropriate and what we're going to have in our language in this bill, and we go on, because that's been mentioned several times before, is that that when we go on, we're going to be able to come back and talk about all these things again, and certainly we're going to review. But are we going to do that with this group at this table, or are we going to do it with committees of the House and committees of the Senate, or is there any way that you anticipate that we're going to be all able to do what I said on Friday night, I guess it was, where all the people with interest in the funds will at some time down the road be able to talk to each other and come to more consensuses?
Well, ma'am.
I appreciate that you gave me this opportunity. I appreciate it.
Madam Chair, I think like so many things here, it won't be the black or the white. It'll be the gray. And it may be a combination of those things that drive changes in this. It's a 25-year process.
I know.
A lot of us won't be here when the last change is made.
But Sarah Cohen has decided that I will.
Okay.
I appreciated that, too. And I said, I'll do my very best, because, indeed, as I've told my committee, this is the most exciting thing and responsibility and challenge that I've been part of in all my years here. And I treasure that gift, and I do not want to make a mistake in presenting the challenge to the people. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really appreciate what you said and what Representative Wagini has said. We need to do this right. We need to set good standards. But I see somewhat of a contradiction here, because I think all of us have agreed, especially in the language that we adopted for the legislative guide, that we don't know everything yet. Not that we ever will, but that we don't have all the answers yet, that we need more discussion, that we need more expert input, that we need planning, a planning process to really answer some of the questions that have been, you got, have been philosophically presenting to us in your bill. And so I see a little bit of a contradiction, because it seems that all the answers are already in your bill, as well as a planning process to arrive at answers. And I don't think we can do both. It just, it would be nice to, I mean, I know Representative Wagenius and Representative, Madam Chair, you're trying to establish some answers now, so that, because we need to spend some money. But it seems to me, if we honestly believe we need that discussion, that planning, that technical support, that really we need to let that guide these answers and not put them in statute. I mean, we didn't take an approach to say we know all these, what all these exact definitions should be yet. I think we acknowledge that there needs to be a planning process and a discussion process, and I think you agree with that. But we thought it would be premature to determine the outcomes of that process in this bill. And so we're at a real disadvantage here trying to arrive at all those scientific answers between now and Sunday. I just don't think we can do that. And I respect that you guys have done a lot of work to come to some conclusions about that, but I think we need to decide, which is it going to be? Are we going to have a planning process? Are we going to have a discussion? Are we going to take scientific input before we determine all these answers, or are we just going to say what the answers are now?
Good point. Representative Wagenius.
You know, I don't think we're going to say what all the answers are, but I think we want to make sure that we're not putting roadblocks out there. And I saw a roadblock that worried me. The commissioner told us to come up with definitions. We did that. I'm going to refer you to R15, which is part of the LASARD recommendations, or the Alfred Heritage recommendations. And if you will look at the top of that page, where the language in the House and the language in the Senate is the same. Look at the language just in the first sentence.
14.
What line? Yeah,
this is 14.8 in the House and 13.19 in the Senate, and they are identical.
Mm-hmm. R15. Article 1.
And it says, for all restorations prior to ecological restoration and management plan, to the highest degree practicable, is consistent with the highest quality conservation and ecological goals for this restoration site. It's actually excellent language, and I think maybe this committee, since it's both in the House and the Senate, may at some point adopt this language. May not, but may. And so certainly the council understood what ecological meant. So I don't think that that when you go back and look at protect and the definition we have of ecological systems and healthy ecosystems, I don't think that language is at all out of the ordinary.
Madam Chair, could I follow up briefly?
Senator Anderson.
I'm just listening to what you're saying and thinking, what if we just said something like protect ecological systems, prevent further degradation of ecological systems, and prevent further degradation of ecological systems by various actions, including but not limited to purchase in fee or easement. I mean, I think I can agree on that much. I just, the rest of the detailed language here, I'm not quite as clear on. So maybe there's some meeting of the minds we could arrive at.
I think there is some meeting of the minds we should arrive at here. And maybe we can ask council to help us out there. But let me just ask you if you would agree that the ecological system needs to function. I mean, that's a common word that we use when we talk about wetlands, that
we want them to function as wetlands, not just to look like it may be a wetland.
Structure and function is all over there, so just look above that.
So I think we can ask council to help us, or maybe you have some language here.
Senator Saxok.
Thank you, Representative, Madam Chair. To a little bit of what Senator Scogin says or his reference, and we're talking about 25 years, I think we were lucky to be able to start out this first 25 years and have two different processes that we could have before us to see which one might be better or, in fact, one might help the other. And that's we in one pot of money we have a council, which, you know, which we're seeing what came on then. And then the other ones we've done internally. And I don't, and I'm sure that probably the jury's still out on both. And in fact, we may find that at some point all four pots of money are better done by a council that will send its recommendations and probably generally make it easier on the legislature and or vice versa, you know, if the job's not done. So. But I do think right now, rather than get too specific in one way or another, that we ought to let the two processes work, and I'm not necessarily favoring one over the other, but I think we ought to be careful that we don't get too prescriptive in what we're doing. And I guess I'm just kind of echoing Senator Anderson's thinking there.
Thank you, Senator Cohen.
Madam Chair, I wasn't going to jump into this, and I was out of the room at something else for a few minutes. As we started to get back into the discussion between Representative Wagenius and Senator Anderson in terms of the particular language, I thought, okay, I'll just let it rest. But then Senator Saxok jumped in. So as we proceed today, tomorrow, tonight, I'm going to, if you'll allow me to kind of stretch the point, okay? I don't want everybody to get upset. But I think the House, as listened this last couple of days, the House views this, stretching the point, as the Constitutional Convention of 1787. The Senate, on the other hand, views this as an appropriations bill, a finance bill. And we'll be back next year, you know, unless somebody quits. Not an election year this year, so unless somebody quits, everybody's going to be back next year. And that we'll have the chance to continue to work on this. It's not the Constitution for the next 220 years. But I'm wondering, why is there the difference in mindset, if that's, again, stretching the point? And I think part of the problem is that if we look at the history of this amendment, and let me just do this quickly, this started out as the Habitat Heritage Amendment. It was modeled after Missouri. It was something pushed by the sportsmen's groups in this state since 1996, 1997. Senator Chaudhry, I forget which year, authored by Senator Lessard, former Senator Lessard. To be real honest, the amendment wasn't going very far. I mean, there was fits and starts, but it had been dormant for several years, maybe since Senator Lessard left the Senate in 2002. It was resurrected primarily in the Senate Finance Committee, starting in 2004, going into 2005. And there was a lot of activity on the Senate side with this amendment, starting with the habitat piece, but then with arts, culture, and then conservation, parks and trails, and so on. And so I think part of it is the Senate has spent a lot more time than I think the House. And let me be blunt, I think another part of it probably is that in the House in 2006, there was a change in majority status so that of the several people, House conferees, Representative Morgan probably wasn't there for part of it, but others were minority members, and we all know what that's like. And Representative Davids,
you don't know.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, Representative Murphy, because my last term in the House, I was in the minority before I went to the Senate. So, yes, I do know.
That was a long time ago.
It was. See, you forgot. And Senator Chaudhry. So I just think that's maybe a little bit of the difference that we and Senator Frederickson, albeit, if you'll allow me, Dennis, a minority member, has been heavily involved in this effort, minority or majority, over these last several years, heavily involved, more than most of the majority members. So I think maybe that's why we have a little bit less emphasis on the structure, the kind of all the ins and outs of it, just because we're a little bit more comfortable just by length of time, more than anything else. And we see our job as I mentioned yesterday, whatever, 1.6 million people expect us to do something this session and get it done and start this process. And we'll have a chance, and that's why the Senate was happy to work with the House in terms of the language relative to legislative guide and that stuff, to work with the House to, over the next year, 2 years, fill in the pieces and work with you in terms of what's going to work for 25 years, but we don't want to lose sight of what our job is this year. So let's see if I can shut up and be philosophical from now on.
Point well taken, Senator. Thank you for that remembrance. We think that that helps us clarify. And we are on the same path in the sense of what's already been said about doing the right thing and going forth. Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm glad we're having this discussion now because we've got a couple of days to go here, and I think we need to see exactly where we're going. I think Senator Cohen pointed out the differences very well. The House had a special committee basically just for this. And we have taken it as the Constitutional Convention because it has to do with the Constitution. And so we start early in January every day working on this, and I think the result is when you look through a lot of this, you see where the House has language and positions, and you look to the right, and it's a blank sheet. And so we have taken very different approaches here, and I think Senator Anderson, some of your comments, Senator, were somewhat troubling to me at this point to suggest that, well, let's do nothing, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I shouldn't say nothing, but let's do less and just kind of put the money over here, see how it goes. We can always come back and change it. I'm looking at it like we're trying to set up a structure for 25 years. We'd better have some direction. We better have some structure. We better have some framework to go out this 25 years, because when we go out this door midnight on Monday, it becomes much, much more difficult to do anything because we're very busy people, and we'll be working on this. We'll be working on nuclear power, nursing homes, education, all these things, and this is just going to get shoved under the rug and just keep sending the checks, and nothing will change. I think we have to do our – we've got 2 days. I think we have to do our work up front. We have to get a framework. We have to get a structure. The House spent – hours after hour after hour after hour to come up with some of these things. Now, maybe some of them are just the way the Senate likes them, or maybe the Senate just wants to throw money at these groups and say, go do it, have fun. That's not the House position. We, from January, February, March, April, and May, spent a lot of time trying to come up with, a structure and a framework so that the citizens of Minnesota know where this money's going to.
Senator Frederickson.
Oh, Madam Chair, I'd like to make one observation that this bill is going to fund ongoing proven activities in Bowser, Board of Water and Soil Resources, RIM, buffer strips, all of those things in Bowser that are successful. It's going to fund activities in the Department of Natural Resources, best management practices, helping farmers buy equipment, helping farmers better design feedlots so we don't get a runoff of feedlots. It's going to fund programs that have been proven in Department of Natural Resources, time-proven. We've already worked out. It's going to fund activities in PCA that are – so my point is that this is not funding new programs. This is funding and creating new programs. It's funding proven existing programs.
And – this is additional money to carry out.
Madam Chair, you're right. It's additional money to better fund those programs.
Right. And Senator, it's also money that when we pass the legislation, for instance, the Clean Water Legacy Act in 2006, and we laid out the framework or the expectations of what would happen in that if we ever got any money, and that has not been properly funded since that, but the promise to the people was still in legislation, in statute.
Madam Chair, that's right.
So we're on similar tracks there, I think. One of the things that you mentioned, Senator, though, that does worry me, and we started to get to it a little bit last night when we were talking about the bottom line for the funds. The possibility exists that like $100 million is going to be out there.
Yes.
And with in immediate walled with the way the cuts are going to be taking place in the future with on allotments and things. And so we're going to have, and with four pieces of legislation that have already been signed that said, I am vetoing this because I expect it to come out of the legacy money. And that is troubling to me, and I want to make sure that as we proceed in the next day and a half that we are not anticipating those things, but we're preventing that from happening, that money would, our legacy money, constitutionally amended money, would not be used to supplant.
Madam Chair, just a quick comment on that.
Yep.
That's a problem we'll have every year. That's not just a problem this year. It's a problem we would have every year.
Okay, good. But so we should think about it as we are preparing our language and we're preparing our appropriations and how we put the language in the bill that the rider language in the bill that follows the funding.
Madam Chair, I'm not dismissive of that, but just this is something we'll face every year with any governor, and we can't let this committee be controlled by that. We should be mindful of it, but we should not be controlling.
Right, and I totally agree with that. Almost. Senator Anderson.
And I'll learn soon what the almost is.
Maybe. Madam Chair, and first I was going to say, similar to what Senator Frederickson said, but just maybe a little differently, that it's not like we don't know how to clean up water. It's not like we don't know how to have parks. It's not like we don't know how to protect land. I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, and we may not be perfect at it, okay? I'm going to buy into the concept. I agree that we can do it better, and we need to be careful, and we need to be really good stewards of this money. But the fact is, 99% of what's in here we've done before. And we get 99% of the places the money is going is places it's been done before. It's not like we have to start the universe at day one today and reinvent the whole wheel. So, okay, I don't think we should let those concerns stop us from moving forward and doing what we know works. But I'm also agreeing that we can do it better and we need to be careful and intentional going forward. But I think the Senate, you know, we didn't have the time, the luxury of time that you had to figure all this stuff out. So we recognize that we need to have this framework in place for these funds over the long term. But we can't get all that done right now. And so maybe you think you've got it all figured out in your bill, and that's wonderful. And so I guess I was just pointing out contradiction. I don't understand why you think we need planning and we need all this language in the bill, because it seems to me they're the same. They're sort of one and the same, and we're saying we didn't have time to write that long bill and figure out all the how to do it right, but we recognize there needs to be a process to do it right. So why can't we just set that process in motion, fund what we know is good, and then make it better next year and the year after? That just seems to me a simple task that we could all agree on.
Senator, I think we're going to come to that, but I think we're still holding out for what Senator Saxhock said 2 days ago or yesterday. It's still our hope that there's some wow factors in the appropriation bill that we will conclude on.
And Madam Chair, there is. There's plenty of wow in here. We haven't had a chance to talk about any of it yet, but it's good. We got a lot of good stuff in here.
We're coming. We're moving right along, Senator. Representative Wiginius.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A lot of what we're doing is very practical and not philosophical. And the practical, there are two practical problems that the House was addressing. It wasn't that we had the luxury of time. People said you've got to address these problems. The commissioner said you've got to have definitions of protect. You've got to have a definition of enhance, and you've got to have a definition of restore. So we did that, and we did it for another reason, because we were hearing people say protect. Protect only means buying land. And so, since we knew that we didn't think protect meant only buying land, we had to address that. What we are doing is bringing to you something that forthrightly addresses that, because I don't think that citizens who voted for this money would think that the only thing you can do to protect is to buy. So that's why you see these definitions. I think they're common terms, and I again refer you back to what the Heritage Council did. If we get through this process and adopt some of their language, I'm going to be one that says that's good language. They knew what they were doing. We're actually following that language very closely. They understand what ecological means. I think you do. I do. These guys do. I don't think there are people out there now that don't understand what ecological means. I just don't buy that.
Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to build upon a couple of comments of Senator Anderson, it's also not like we don't know how to address constitutional amendments for the environment. We have a constitutional amendment that raises money for the environment, and we have a long-established process by which we distribute that money. And in fact, that's what the structure of the SARD Council was based on, was the LCCMR. We created that structure because there is a proven process for spending environmental dollars, but recognizing that things could be improved upon, we gave the citizens of this Lessard Council a majority, recognizing that there's a whole lot of expertise out of Minnesota beyond just the halls of the Capitol that can address conservation needs. And that was an improvement and building upon some of what we've learned in the past. And there were some strong arguments for that when we did that. I don't recall in the process of all of this funding that one of the things we could build upon from the LCCMR and the lottery amendment was to be more prescriptive about certain scientific definitions. I don't recall these types of prescriptions in place in our statute that relates to the lottery money or the LCCMR. I think that's because the LCCMR has done a good job. There are times when we disagree with their fundings, but in general, we're satisfied with that process. And when we were not, we had a whole debate. We discussed that there should be citizens on the old LCMR. There was agreement between the House and the Senate and the governor that should be the case. And there was a lot of discussion, joint discussion, about that type of major change. And there was a degree of consensus outside the halls of the Capitol that there should be some citizen representation on it. And when we built upon that, we thought the structure and the process was sound. Perhaps we should have a citizen majority instead of a minority on the council. And we had lengthy discussions throughout the legislative session, and last year we passed it. But there was no discussion about when this amendment passed, about how intricately we needed to define scientific approaches to the spending of these dollars. Now, maybe there's some, because of the sheer size of the dollar amount, there is a temptation to get in there and direct those dollars more specifically. But I don't recall that there being a consensus that is necessary. I think there is, however, a consensus that the SART Council did a good job in what we expect in delivering conservation programming. And to do that in such a short amount of time was equally impressive. So I don't think we're coming at this in a vacuum. We're building upon our experiences of the past, and I think some of the consternation you're hearing from our side and from the environmental stakeholders is that we're trying to fix something that isn't broken. And even if it's not broken, there hasn't been a true consensus, let alone convincing, that these changes are necessary, built upon, based upon our history of conservation programming. So my attitude is that, particularly with the council, unless there is gross error, we should let the people who are intimately involved in this type of activity, and we require that by statute. I think that's an appropriate requirement. Let them do their work. And I certainly don't want to spend 3 days at the end of session, every session, debating this. I think we've set up an appropriate process, just like we have with the LCCMR. We don't sit every weekend, last days of session, debating the philosophy of LCCMR funding. And this is philosophically no different. It's only a difference in scale. And I think that was what the voters wanted. We wanted an increase in our scale of commitment to Minnesota's outdoors. That's what they voted for. I think the constitutional provision speaks for itself. And many, if not most of us at this table, were there writing it. But I think we really need to avoid the temptation that to self-interpret what the people wanted us to do with regards to scientific definitions. And I'm not seeing a lot of scientists coming forward and saying that we need this either, let alone stakeholders, practitioners, technicians, program managers, etc. So to me, unless we've seen some real gross error, and there's a large feeling that these citizens, and their legislators on it as well, committed some real gross error in delivering this programming out of this money, I think we should let their views stand. And I think perhaps we ought to consider the same thing for the other funds as well. Because, I mean, are we going to sit here and have a spend 3 days at the end of every session debating the philosophy of this constitutional amendment for the next 25 years? I don't think we want to do that. Like Senator Anderson said, we are we're building upon what we've already done, but I don't to suggest that there should be some new philosophical redirection of conservation programming without significant discussion and advocacy from the people who outside these halls are intimately involved with these issues. I think we should put our trust in the citizenry of Minnesota to do so. That's my feeling on the matter.
Thank you. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Chaudhry, I think you said some very important things there. Perhaps the most important of it is that there is consensus that the recommendations for appropriations that the council brought to us were good ones. You adopted them all. We adopted them all. We also heard, as the chair has mentioned, from the DNR. And they said, look, we have this constitutional language now on restore, enhance, and protect. It would be a good idea to have some definitions of that language. These are some definitions that I think Representative Wagenius has expressed were intended to broaden what it appears these terms mean to folks, not to further restrict. And she has even agreed to pursue amending the language on the protect already in order to make that clear to folks that we are trying to broaden what the idea behind these definitions mean. Madam Chair, I guess the question I might ask to the senators, knowing that that is our intent, knowing that we would like to broaden this language and make it clear that we are not trying to restrict the language, is there some additional language on protect or enhance or restore that you think would make these definitions acceptable? I guess that would be my question.
Madam Chair,
Senator Cohen.
I think possibly. Can we get back to you next week on that after we thought about it for a little while?
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Would that be okay?
Oh, excuse me. Madam Chair, just to respond to Mr.
What day?
Representative Morgan.
Week from Monday. Actually, next weekend. We could do it next weekend. How would that be?
What time?
Maybe 10 o'clock Saturday morning, so we can give some thought to it. Senator Chaudhry, are you available next week?
No.
Senator?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Morgan. I think that's kind of the point. None of us here are active practitioners in conservation activities, nor do any of us bring forward any type of strong enough scientific background, let alone relevant, to make these types of definitions. So it, to us, it just does not seem to make sense for us to create definitions that we don't know anything about. And it would be much better for the people out in the field to practice their trade, restoring, protecting, and enhancing. And if there is some gross error in what they're doing that appears, perhaps we can get out our science books and have a scientific debate and talk about what we need to change in statute to do so. But even that would be dicey because what limited exposure I've had to science is that there's disagreement no matter where you are. Some people think there ought to be 25 types of native seeds planted to have an adequate diversity in a native prairie. Some people think it's adequate with 10. Some people say we have to have way more than 50. These are debates that go on. I have a sister who is a native plant biologist. She's a doctor of plant biology. And I asked her, what is correct here? She said there is no correct answer. It totally depends. Totally depends. And to prescribe one thing, one definition for one situation is completely inappropriate. And I think it's even more inappropriate for us to put it in statute, and particularly without any type of scientific consensus that has brought these definitions forward. So I think we are actually probably putting these dollars more at risk by putting in definitions that we are not aware of or certain of than by doing nothing and just letting the people who know what they're doing out in the field do their job.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Chaudhry, my master's degree is in soil management. I have worked in these areas. I have prairies on my farm. I've worked on restoring those. So I think you were out of the room when we had a discussion about adding to the language and including that there was a consensus, I thought, at the table before you came in about that protect was not just acquire, not just go through acquisition. And Senator Anderson and I were in a process that lasted about 4 weeks where a request for proposal was made, and the definitions for requests for proposals on which all the funding is based explicitly state that protect is acquisition. Protect is acquisition. Now, we've had testimony in committees and in conference committees just 2 weeks ago that protect can include acquisition, and I thought that was the consensus at the table before you came in, that that could include acquisition, but it is not equal to acquisition. And so in terms of time, we've had a legislative process with public input where the definitions that are in front of you are broader right now, broader and inclusive rather than restrictive. Now, we will go into session here later today, and we'll probably be adopting definitions. We adopt definitions all the time on which we spend billions of dollars in health care and education based on definitions of where we spend. That's our job. We decide. As the elected officials, we decide what the definitions are. And there's generally not a consensus. We may have compelling testimony on either side of a definition of what something means. But then we vote. And we make that, and we spend money based on those definitions. In whatever field we cover, we get that, and we've done that. So I don't see what's different here in defining what the Constitution what was adopted, the key action words of restore, protect, and enhance. Because if the legislature does not define them, in the absence of definitions, there will be other definitions.
Representative Morgan.
Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Hansen. That was one of the things I wanted to say. Madam Chair, we have about a half an hour to go here before we want to take a break. We need to get into session. The Senate has some things to do before they go into session later on. I hope we've made ourselves clear that we think it's important to make sure that there are sufficiently broad definitions of these terms. And we are interested in adopting additional language that will clarify the broadness to which we aspire on these definitions. Perhaps I've just invented a word. I'm only a physics major. But perhaps we can better spend our last half hour here before break, and maybe right now this conversation isn't getting us any further.
Madam Chair.
Senator Anderson.
I guess I want to make one more clarification here. I don't agree with Senator Chaudhry on the fact that we don't need definitions in law. I agree with the House that it's a good idea. But I agree with the conclusion that I don't think we're going to be able to get that done here and now. That's my concern, because I think it is appropriate for us to set standards, and high standards, absolutely. But I guess my concern is, number one, there's not only not consensus about the definitions that are in here, there's very broad disagreement, vociferous disagreement. And so it makes it hard for us to just say, okay, we'll agree with something that is not widely supported and agree to, or we're going to take the time to find some compromise. And that, I mean, that's what, it would be great if we could do that, but how do we have the time to do that, to really work out all of these definitions in a way that really find at least some consensus? And I just don't think we have time to do that. I think, number two, that's why we have a planning process to try to help us achieve these and to achieve that discussion and that some reliability of what the words should be. And the third thing is, I've heard Representative Wagenius and Representative Hansen say, this is a simple matter. This is just about saying, in this particular instance, that protection means something more than acquisition. Well, just write that down and say it, and let's be done with it. I agree with that. You know, I'll move that right now. But that's not what this language says. It has lots of other things incorporated into its meaning that create ambiguity, and that's why I think that's what's hanging us up. If we can just write a sentence that says protection means acquire by fee or acquisition and other methods of protecting ecosystems. I mean, if that's all you mean, just say it. Let's be done with it. But it's not that we have
Thank
so
you.
Much. Sorry.
Thank you.
I'm getting frustrated.
And
sure.
We will go on and appreciate that. And let us not waste Senator Scoggins' visit to the table. And let's go on and to the art framework. At this time. Senator Scoggins, did you come to give us wisdom or to participate in the discussion?
Madam Chair, I was the chair of the subcommittee on E-12 education and how the arts legacy money might be incorporated. So I'm just here to participate in the discussion if needed.
And were you part of the proposal for the Purpich School?
I was, Madam Chair.
Do you want to tell us about that?
Well, is that where we want to start,
mm-hmm. Madam Chair?
If we've got you here and you're the key person on that we don't know, the House does not know anything about that proposal except that it's there, and you could give us some background.
Well, Madam Chair and members, the background would come from the fact that I serve on the E-12 Education Committee in the Senate, and chair of that committee, Senator Stump, asked if I would chair a subcommittee on how the legacy money might be incorporated, or a portion of legacy money for the arts might be incorporated into the E-12 education system. The subcommittee then held a hearing with participants who already are participating in E-12 education. And I don't have all of my notes here, but we heard from public television and public radio, and we heard from the Purpich Center and the arts associations and the Guthrie and all of those that already were involved in some in some level to some degree in E-12 education. Then the process continued where the subcommittee sat down and thought, well, if part of that legacy money were to come to E-12 education, how would we make that fit? And someone on our committee said, well, you know, we have a already have a state agency for arts and education, and that is the Purpich Center. And so why reinvent the wheel? So we then called them in and had a brief discussion about how they might, you know, I think as education finances are put under pressure, one piece that seems to drop away quickly when budgets are done is the arts piece. And many disciplines of the arts are often carved away. And so we were thinking about somehow incorporating arts into all of education. And we have others here at the table who participated in that discussion. And so we eventually asked the Purpich Center if they thought that they could enhance what they do, teach the teachers how to teach arts while teaching other classes, and have a full integration of arts in our E-12 system. We came up with a plan. You'll see it in your packet, and we'd like to have that discussion at this time. That's fine.
And
I think we have people here, I believe, from the Purpich Center today. So,
Senator, in your discussions of teaching, the teachers, giving the teachers the tools to teach, to bring more arts experiences to students, did you also talk to the Humanities Center at that time?
We did not talk to the Humanities Center at that time. They did, I believe they did come in and talk to us in our initial discussions, but we did not go back to them.
And with the total, you were giving just a small percentage of the total arts funding for arts education to the Department of Education through the Purpich School. Is there a reason that wasn't a bigger portion, or that portion, was that just the limited amount of money you had at that time? But if we think that's just the greatest idea, they could broaden the experiences for more people.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Cohen maybe could better answer how we ended up at that number, maybe without giving all of the details of the sometimes harsh disagreement Senator Cohen and I had about how much money it would take to do this right statewide, and go back to Senator Saxog's earlier comment about a wow factor. Money, you know, we're going to have in this legacy money, we're going to have a lot more requests than we have money for.
You've noticed that too?
And that's not going to be, that won't change over the 25 years either. But I think this is a good step in the right direction to take some of the arts money and plug it into E-12 education with some integration. And the Purpich Center certainly touches all the school districts in the state. They teach the teachers how to teach. They think they can do this. And I would like to give them that opportunity. We originally had asked for $8 million. And then we were told, I believe the original counter proposal was about $200,000. And the debate then started, and here we are.
Thanks for that background. Senator Cohen.
Madam Chair, let me supplement. And Senator Tomasoni is here as well. Although it's somewhat coincidentally, the subcommittee Senator Stumpf set up, it was, what, four members? And three of the four members are here because Senator Scogin was the chairman, but Senator Saxog and Senator Rummel were also members of that subcommittee, so they can actually jump into this as well. I don't think Senator Saxog will confuse those discussions with some of the heritage discussions. As Senator Scogin indicated, the proposal, it's a very interesting proposal. I don't know if you want to hear from people from the Purpich School directly. Let me try to quickly capsulize this. The optimum amount of money was the $8 million. this is something that the Purpose Center has kicked around for a while. And what it is to, on a statewide basis, integrate not simply arts education into the curriculum, but to integrate arts into the other parts of the school curriculum. Am I stating that fairly? I hope. So not just simply say with literature arts, for instance, but with other parts of the curriculum. And I think the basis of that is that there's been demonstrated, as I think everybody is aware, a significant increase in learning capacity if you utilize the arts and related kinds of issues. Senator Tomasoni and I sat down at some length then with folks, because again, the recommendation was made from the subcommittee, the full committee, to Senator Tomasoni, who was the author of the bill, Article 4. And Senator Tomasoni and I spent an hour and a half or something with folks from the Purpose Center. This has not been, this is something, of course, now in the course of the legislative process, it seems like it was, you know, 6 months ago. But it happened fairly quickly in the context of Senator Tomasoni's division. And it was clear in our discussions that the Purpose Center wanted to go ahead, was not in a position to immediately implement this on a statewide basis. They needed to get into it gradually. So we asked them, and I'm not sure, the one place I would maybe disagree with Senator Scogin is Senator Tomasoni, I hope I'm not mistaken, either Senator Scogin or Senator Tomasoni's position, that Senator Tomasoni really not sure, because we hadn't had a chance to talk to anybody, so what about maybe $200,000, $250,000, $400,000, without really having as clear of a sense as we developed. Because at that point, that was prior to our discussions with the Purpose folks. They presented a proposal that was initially, I think it was it $1.8 or $1.9 million for what they would like to do at this juncture. In looking at the initial proposal from the Purpose Center, my sense was some of it, and you and I have done enough budgeting over the years that, you know, you can kind of look through some of the line items and think, you know, not quite sure. You need this $100,000. And so thought initially maybe it was somewhat less than that. We then had a second meeting involving the Purpose Center where we had a more detailed breakdown. We also, at that point, had the advice and involvement of the finance director for the Purpose Center, who could more directly talk about the actual dollars. And in fact, as it turned out, Representative Murphy, you'd appreciate this, when she got done in my office, she was looking at the picture of all the finance chairman on the wall of my office, and she said, yeah, that's my father. And it was Jerry Ouellette. So,
and Anita.
Well, no, it was just a picture of of Senator Ouellette. So at that point, Senator Tomasoni felt it was appropriate to raise the amount and wanted to come closer to the 1.8. We still had a couple of questions, and I think Senator Tomasoni ultimately appropriated 1.6. And the reason it's done in different amounts for the biennium is, so the first year is the true startup money, and then the second year is the beginning of the implementation. So I hope that's a fair representation.
The first year is a startup, and that covers more of the Purpose School expenses.
Well, these are all Purpose. To be fair, these are all Purpose School expenses.
Right, but I mean,
they're going to need, Madam Chair, they'll need a project coordinator, and they'll need to get their feet under them and kind of take a look. And I think, with the appropriation moving from the original $8 million down to the 1.9 and now the 1.6, we're now looking at more of a pilot project. To start with as well. Certainly at 1.6 there will not be full statewide implementation.
And Madam Chair, that's in our conversations with the Purpose Center. I hope they don't disagree with this. I don't think they will. That's what they discussed with us. Because we asked very explicitly when Senator Tomasoni met with them, okay, how much can you do now? What can you do? And so on. They said, we need to, because this is a program that doesn't operate. This program actually, which strikes us as quite interesting and unique, is something that really lends itself, now having talked about the Constitutional Convention of 1787 and so on, this actually lends itself to exactly the conversation the House has been having with us in terms of, you know, outcomes and so on. So as a new program, we take a look at it. Now, we don't think, to be honest, we need to set up five committees to take a look at it. We can probably reconstitute Senator Scogin's ad hoc committee on K-12 and Senator Tomasoni's division is a standing division of the Senate to take a look at the outcomes with the program in a couple of years and see, okay, how many schools were involved? What was the reaction of kids within the schools? Did Representative Morgan and his school think this is the worst idea or the best idea he's ever seen? And so we're able to try to take a look at that and then determine, you know, going ahead as to full state implementation, half a state, you know, whatever.
It kind of gets to you, though, doesn't it? You know, the whole thing and the possibilities and the going back and doing the outcomes, the whole package, rather than just the appropriation. This is really a good example of that and of how you can be captured by the possibilities and how you can be captured by the wanting to do the whole thing rather than just an appropriation.
Madam Chair, don't get carried away. I still like the appropriation.
Senator Rummel.
I've been captured.
Madam Chair and committee members, as a former art teacher, and I was sitting on the committee, and as a former teacher, history of seeing the depletion of the arts in our school system has been just tragic. When I did my master's thesis on this very topic, we know that we have to engage both the right and the left brain in learning. We have tremendous amount of conversation and dialogue out here about raising student achievement. And so our vision was, instead of grants that would go here, there, and everywhere, and some schools would benefit and others wouldn't, our vision was to create a systematic way of bringing the arts into every classroom and every subject that is taught. Art is another way of seeing and understanding the world. And if you link it with, say, science or mathematics or history, and it isn't just visual arts, it's performing arts, it's all the arts. If we link those to the other disciplines, the retention, the understanding of the student is enhanced. And so the pilot will begin by, and I'm looking at, I think it's the principles that's on first page of Article 5 that come from the House. Use existing systems, agencies, and entities rather than create a new bureaucracy. We have in the Purpose Center an agency that's committed to embedding the arts in all of education. They already have the system for teaching teachers how to use the arts in the classroom. What these funds do is focus them then on, the idea we gave them was to focus them on how to use the other disciplines, which have academic standards, and embed the art standards together in those. And so we thought that over time, this would be a wonderful marriage of learning that would improve student achievement and would reach all students every day. So that was the vision. That was the idea that we were trying to propose.
I think you, Senators, I think you have similar visions to the people that worked the hardest on the House framework and the community education part and the library part too. That was in the House proposal. But when you were in your discussions on with the Purpose School, then did you go back to the language in the law that set up the Purpose Center, and that they were charged by the original legislation to do outreach throughout the state? And
well, Madam Chair, I believe that's why we ended up going back to them. We did not discuss that with them when we got back together with them, but they are the state agency. They're charged with doing that. And so rather than build new bureaucracy, we went to the agency already in place.
Meets our goals,
yes.
Right?
Madam Chair.
Senator Tomasoni.
Let me just reiterate what Senator Cohen said, because I don't disagree with anything that my colleague said. The discussions with the Purpose School were that this could be a wonderful undertaking. This could have absolutely incredible results. However, to do it statewide all at once might be a little bit daunting, and which is why we came to the conclusion that let's try it and figure out exactly how to do it in a limited area, just to see how it works out, and if it is successful. Then at that point you want to talk about expanding it to a broader specter. And I believe that at least with the discussions that Senator Cohen had and I had with the Purpose School of the Arts, and Senator Scogin was in one of them, that we came to a pretty good agreement that this was probably the way to go, so that we can start out and make sure that we do it right, as opposed to immersing the whole state into something that maybe they aren't quite capable of handling just yet. And so this was more of a pilot project to get the thing right on the first try.
And the art standards were play a part in that also. Senator Cohen.
Madam Chair, let me just make a couple of comments. When we were working on this constitutional amendment, and when I would speak to folks outside of the legislative process over the last several years about this, and they'd say, why are you doing this? You're tying the hands of the legislature. This is just a bad way to budget. You know, you're the finance chairman. You should be more fiscally responsible. And my comment was that obviously, one, if we did it, it would be with a new tax. It was not going to be out of existing revenue. But one of the things I suggested was that if we can re-achieve someday some type of fiscal stability with our budget, once you get past K-12, Health and Human Services, higher education, and to a lesser extent public safety, everything else gets crumbs. And if you want to talk about clean water, environmental kinds of programs, habitat protection, enhancement of arts, cultural stuff, I don't care where the state budget is, that stuff gets crumbs. And that was always my defense of why to do this through the amendment process. But having said that, there are certainly gaps. And gaps because you can do just so much. And I think one of the very significant gaps in this amendment is that this amendment will never provide for what Senator Rummel has discussed, the ability to provide arts education throughout the state of Minnesota. That's going to take, maybe it's Representative Greiling's effort, but something of that sort, where you could be able to rebuild what had existed maybe 30 years ago in terms of arts education throughout the state. And that's why, understanding that we could turn over the entirety of Article 4 to this purpose, and it still wouldn't be enough. And to turn over, $5 million, $6 million, $7 million, $10 million, and just kind of scatter it around the state doesn't really advance the ball very far, except for those select few. And that's why the Purpose proposal, which can be implemented on a statewide basis, assuming it works out well, et cetera, for more limited dollars, gets a bigger bang for the buck than just tossing money around the state. I've not been a teacher, so I would defer to people like Representative Morgan and Senator Rummel, who've actually been working in the schools. I think all of us spend a lot of time within our schools and our district.
Representative Brown.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I apologize. There are a lot of people who have the background in the schools. I apologize, Representative Brown. I just was kind of staring at Representative Morgan over here. But there are a lot of people who have the background in the schools that I don't have who can speak to that better. But that, unfortunately, is one of the negative parts of this thing, that we're not going to take care of in entirety arts education in a way that would be comprehensive throughout the state. So, again, finally, just that's why in the Senate we chose to try to kind of focus our attention in a way that we thought would produce more impact for the unfortunate limited dollars we had.
Thank you very much, Senator. I appreciate those comments, and I know that you were not talking about tossing money across the state as any criticism about anything in our proposals or any of the proposals in any of the articles that we have before us.
That was a metaphor.
Term that people are using, common usage of usage, and I don't think that in any way any of the proposals in any of our package or your package is tossing money out.
No, what I meant by that, Representative Murphy, was that if we said, okay, we're going to have a comprehensive arts education program in every high school, in every middle school, in every elementary school in the state of Minnesota, and we're going to take $5 million to do it, that would be tossing money across the state because it's simply going to do it.
We have to have a plan. We agree with you, Senator. We have to have a plan.
Well, yeah, okay.
We're going to have to continue this discussion after our recess, but if I feel that we've made a lot of progress and understandings this morning, and we can go into the afternoon thinking about where we're going and the decisions that we have to make. If you are going to talk in the recess at all about the invitation that I gave Senator Chaudhry last night, and to you, if you decide to make us an offer, we would appreciate hearing it from all four of the funds and significant language, and we would appreciate it in writing.
Okay. And will you be making an offer to us then?
We would respond to that at a later time after we receive it and consider it.
So you're making the request to us to present an offer initially to the House. Okay. Well, we can talk about it. Quite possibly take you up on it. What time do you?
And
I'm sorry.
If you could give us some indication of what you would accept and would not accept in the four funds, that would help us move along.
Okay.
And spending offers in all four funds, and we can go from there.
All right. We can try to give it a try. What's the timing of everything at this point?
Mr. Chair, I was the first one at the SOB, and I was when I came in at 8:30, and I was pretty much the only one when I left at 20 to 10, so I haven't been in conversations with anyone yet, and so I will have to let you know that.
Okay, but from what little bit we do know, we go in Senate into session, what, at 2 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? And you're in session
at 12.
Now?
But okay. Then I think we're going to have a caucus, and so we'll probably be going back at the same time you are.
Okay. I don't think we have a lot of work in the Senate today, so I'm hoping that if we go on to general orders, we have some stuff on the calendar, it shouldn't take a long time, and if we go to general orders, it would hopefully be within a reasonable period of time, but we'll be working on this stuff during that period of time, so if we get together, I don't know, 3:30-ish, 3:30, depending on caucuses or how active, four-ish. And let me just be honest, Madam Chairman. We've had some interesting conversations and some philosophical conversations and some historical conversations. I've done some of that. now we're going to have some conversations about what this bill looks like. And the Senate position is that we ought to pass a bill this year. We're prepared to work through the night. I know there's the rule, but there are conference committees this year that I have gone back to the old days. And we don't have a lot of time. So speaking for the Senate, well, maybe I shouldn't speak for all the Senate conferees. I got my 3.5 hours of sleep last night. I'm ready to go through the night. And we'll make you a substantive offer, and we'll expect the same in return. And we expect to engage in this on the Senate side quite seriously to do whatever it takes until things either are resolved or if we do reach a position of intractability, maybe not, but I don't anticipate that.
I don't anticipate that either, Senator, but I don't anticipate working through the night either.
Really?
You know, Senator, in my years of experience, I found out that we need 4 hours of sleep at least. And I didn't get it night before last. And you realized that that wasn't such a good thing for me not to have had my 4 hours. But last night I had 5 hours.
You know, I guess I've enjoyed serving the Minnesota legislature over the years. The one thing that where I have trouble, I like, you know, other than my 4 years of college in Chicago, I've always been a Minnesotan. Where I don't quite fit in is I'm a night person. And I'm kind of like a hamster. I mean, I get to 2-3 in the morning, I'm doing okay. But I understand that that's not,
you know, Senator,
that's more of an East Coast norm than Minnesota.
Well, you know, Senator, I was right up there with you, totally, all along, all those years I've been up there. We came in together, and I've been there with you. But somehow when I got that first Social Security check, I just needed the 4 hours. I just couldn't do it. And it doesn't so much matter if I get it at night or if I get it in the daytime. If I get it, I'm fine. Well, and I'm not trying to say that your conferees aren't up to it. They are. I know they are. But there's a couple of us on this side that just need that 4 hours.
Well, Madam Chair, I would take the House position on getting some sleep.
Thank you very much. This meeting is in recess.
I don't think he's not one of the conferees.
I'm with Mary.
I am too.